Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Later this hour, we'll have the power surge. John Jansen's six best teams in the NFL. Are the Lions in after being out last week? We'll get to that. Plus, the biggest surprise team early in the NFL season.
Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks, we know a heck of a lot more than we did before the season started. There are some surprise teams, and it'll be interesting to see how the power surge works itself out as we get through the start of this year.
I think every team in the power surge last week won, but that doesn't mean they all have to stay.
No.
Okay. With the Lions, big time swing from week one to week two. We had Dan Campbell on last week. There was a lot of confidence that they would get this right.
Yeah. A lot of confidence they would get it right. And coming out of week one, it was the I think the biggest thing I took away from Dan and from listening to him, not just on our show, but was there were communication errors in Lambeau.
And we'll obviously have the chance to ask him about hitting the road again.
Yeah.
The place is going to be loud in Baltimore. To me, the biggest takeaway was, for as disjointed as the offense looked in Green Bay, some of that was sloppiness, MAs, TJ talked about it. Some of the route concepts just didn't feel like they were in sync or advantageous. For as bad as it looked week one, it looked exactly like it looked last year in week two. It looked like Ben Johnson never left. It made it feel like it's not going to be a big deal that Ben Johnson is no longer the offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
because the Lions still dropped 50 points on damn near 9 yards of play.
Yeah.
And they got everybody involved, spread the rock, balance, all of it.
And it felt like that was the recipe. If teams are going to allow you to do different things and not allow you to do different things, but if you could just, cookie cutter a game plan from week to week, obviously Jared Goff throwing the ball 30 or less times, running the ball 25 or more times, feels like that's the exact recipe for coming away offensively with great production.
Oh yeah, if you had that in the recipe book,
yeah, dial it up.
Whip that up every time, because no sacks on your quarterback, no turnovers from your quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean, I would say it's a nearly flawless performance offensively. They didn't score every possession, but John, as terms of an NFL game, you're not going to get a much better offensive day than what the Lions had in Week Two against the Bears.
No, you score 52 points in any game against any opponent in the NFL. You've had a damn good day.
And we have questions about the defense, but to get a couple turnovers, fumble and pick, a couple fourth down stops.
Yeah,
that's what Kelvin Shepard had emphasized, is, hey, we need to get some takeaways.
Takeaways, force the ball out, flip the field, get some momentum. All of those different things play a factor in it. But I think the biggest thing was special teams didn't necessarily set this offense up with short fields. And it's not a detriment. I'm just saying that's looking at it from an offensive perspective. You put a lot of quality drives together. And if you can put a lot of quality drives together in every single game, and then every once in a while, because last year against Tennessee, that was a special teams win. Mm-hmm. Because they, they're returning balls for touchdowns, giving the offense, the ball on the opponent's 10-yard line. Like, you expect to score a lot of points when that happens. This wasn't the same as that.
What side of the ball do we learn more about when they face Baltimore on Monday night?
Well, I think it's going to be the offense. I really do. And so it's I say offense just because what we learned was communication errors, unblocked defenders, and an offense that was inept in Lambeau Field. Then all of a sudden you play at home and it's nice and quiet. You can talk. You can have conversations. And all of a sudden, everybody's on the same page. Offense looks great. Can you do that on the road? And so, I mean, that's part of it. But it's also, I think we'll learn a lot about the defense, too, because it's Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I think some of the challenge is nobody really brings a 1-2 punch like Baltimore does, and it's a chance to test your front seven. And it's not just against the run. It's going to be contained when the play breaks down. I mean, when they added Derrick Henry, it was borderline a cheat code. Because it punishes linebackers and it punishes edge players and run support players and safeties. And I mean, I think Brian Branch is more than equipped for the job. I think Jack Campbell, right? RAS score, elite athlete, like more than equipped for the job. We're going to see what the Davenport update is late in the week.
Yeah.
But there's going to be some questions this team's going to have to answer for sure.
They will. And we'll get a. This is going to be another true test of this team.
Let's get ready. Let's talk to the Lions head coach, Dan Campbell. Dan, good morning. We appreciate you joining us again today.
Yep, good to be here. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. You guys certainly didn't panic after week one, and I imagine it felt really good to see your team respond that way in week two.
Yeah, it was, you know, we got back on track, and guys prepared well. I mean, it was really good practices. You know, they got better and better every day. Guys were locked in. But I knew we'd bounce back. I mean, that's the type of guys we have. You know, so I was proud of the players, proud of the coaches, and now we just got to get better again. We got a good opponent coming up.
Yeah, it's a tough opponent, but let's talk a little bit more about that game because there was a lot of questions going into the season about Mahogany and Ratledge, and game plan being what it was, or the series, or the situation being what it was at Lambeau at home. I'm curious your take on how those two guys performed against Chicago, and how did you see them grow from week one to week two?
Yeah, both of those guys played winning football. They were both much improved from game one, and that goes with the whole line as well. You know, they were all better, and for the team, for good gosh, I mean, we were. Every one of us got better from week one to week two, but Mahogany and Ratledge, you know, I thought really improved. And I would tell you, it was, man, it was the fundamentals, man. It was, I thought we were all on point. It helps, you know, because everything's verbal, you can hear, but yet, there's so much of this that's just about working through the kinks. But their fundamentals, their technique, all, you know, it was just their landmarks. They're running off the football, man. They're anchoring in pass pro. They're passing off twist. So it was good, man. It's a step in the right direction, you know. So that's what you're looking for, is just constant growth. And it doesn't all have to happen in 1 week, and I don't expect it to. None of us do. But just steady, constant growth.
You mentioned a lot of that communication can be verbal at home because offense is on the field, crowd's not cheering, they want to see what this offense can do. But in week one, you did mention that there were some communication issues. How do you make sure that that's not an issue going on the road to Baltimore?
Well, look, we just like we did Green Bay, we do what everybody does, right? We bring out 38 speakers and we park them about 10 feet behind us and then on the sides and way in the back. And so you can't hear. And so you force that environment anyway. But, you know, I'm going to be on high alert, on point. We're going to make sure that's going. But if there's any inkling of we targeted wrong, I didn't hear this, I didn't do, we'll just start the whole period over and do it until we get it right. Because that'll always kind of create some urgency there. And I don't expect that to happen, but we'll make sure that we're good, you know. And it's on us as coaches to make sure that this plant, we have enough ammo, but yet we don't overload our guys or put too much on their plate to where, you know, we're actually creating a problem as coaches.
I know we'll talk a lot about the Baltimore matchup, but just one other question on the Bears game. How big was that for John Morton, right? You take over the number one offense, week one doesn't look right. Just how big was it for him to have that performance from the offense?
Well, I mean, look, John's a perfectionist, you know? I mean, none of us were happy about what happened in Green Bay, you know, top to bottom, any coach. But he's a perfectionist, and I can tell you this, his motive, his – at the end of the day, the guy's got no ego. He just wants to put our players in a position to have a chance to produce, man, and have a chance to win and put our best players where they belong. And so when it doesn't go that way, he takes that stuff personal, man. He feels like he let those guys down. So, so yeah, it's big. It's big for the whole staff, you know, and our guys responded.
How much does the offense become more of a threat and – in terms of Isaac Tesla being another weapon. I know he's only had two catches. They've been spectacular.
John, imagine when he starts using both hands.
But how much does that add to this offense, having him earn the trust of the players, the coaches, and the play caller to get more time?
Yeah, the more guys you have that you can lean on and have a skill set, one of the things we like about him is, you're seeing he's got an opportunity to make some plays. He's made some plays, but he'll also mix it up in the run game. He's a big guy. He's physical. He's not afraid to go in there. So, and he's pretty smart, Now, we don't want to put too much on him, but yet, man, he's, we got to get him more involved, and we will. We're going to put him out there. But that only helps St. Brown. It helps Jamo. It helps Gibbs. It helps Laporta. That's it only helps. So at some point there's going to be somebody that's going to draw one-on-one, and that person's got to win. So it's good to see him get better. We're going to use him a little bit more here. But we're still going to use everything we've got too. I mean, Leaf's a part of this, and, we get Vaki back this week. We like where we're at.
Talking to Lions head coach Dan Campbell this morning ahead of the Baltimore game on Monday night. You say get better each week. What's the emphasis? Where do you need to get better this week?
Well, I think the most glaring thing that took place the other day, just when you really look in the totality of the team and what transpired was, man, we had a lot of missed opportunities off of takeaways. I mean, our defense... you get two takeaways and two fourth down stops, and we only come away with, 14 points off of that, or excuse me, 10. That's not good enough. And so that was my point to the team is, man, we cannot, and one of those was in plus territory. So we have to capitalize on those. We do. When the defense gives you that and fights and scratches and claws to get a takeaway, you've got to turn those into points. So that's where we can be a lot better, and we're going to have to be a lot better.
One of the challenges against Baltimore is that 1-2 punch in the backfield of Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. How do you slow them down defensively?
Well, I tell you what, there's no easy task here. Those two players, let's not forget, they got skill now on the perimeter. They got some receivers. They got a tight end. This old line will come off the ball. But it does start with Lamar and that runner, man. And he's a load. What they do a lot of shifts. They do motions. There's a lot of, read run out of it, or the illusion. There's play pass, there's boots, so our defense has got their hands full. And I think more than anything, the two things, what you see a lot of is even the teams that play them pretty well, man, they do well, 3 yard, 3 yard, 3 yard, all of a sudden there goes a 60 yarder. And so this team, if you don't stay disciplined for 60 minutes, you make one false move at some point in the game, it'll cost you because, when Henry gets going downhill and there's an open gap and you don't stop him before he hits the line of scrimmage or make him move his feet, he's dangerous. Man, we got to be disciplined, and we have to have population of the football. We're going to have all 11 scream into the football no matter where it is. I mean, that's what you have to do to contain this offense. And we got to find a way to get a takeaway.
Last time you guys played Baltimore was 2023. You guys were still ramping up. In what way are you guys better equipped to play them and face them this time?
Well, look, we're better on the perimeter. That's one. But I think also having faced that, it's one thing to say or see it on tape, but when you actually face it, which we have a significant amount of guys that are still here that actually live through that, then you really know the task at hand. You know the environment. You know what they're made of. They're well coached. I got a lot of respect for Coach Harbaugh. And they're just every year, man, they're a tough team. They're competitive, they're rugged, and they're disciplined. So this would be a good challenge, and I'm looking forward to it. Our guys are going to be looking forward to it.
Any update on Marcus Davenport, and if he's unavailable, any concerns with any depth at the end position?
No, nothing new there. I mean, I'm probably not going to know till the end of the week. But as far as depth, we're good. We're in a pretty good place here. You know, we made some acquisitions. Brad did, you know, right out of camp. So we're pretty good depth wise here. But we'll know more at the end of the week.
How much of that is Al-Qaeden Muhammad, the game he just played? I know you were raving about him at the press conference earlier this week. Where are you at with his role in this defense?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a significant role player for us, and there's a good chance he takes on, you know, more than he's been doing, but he's also earned that. He's really improved just in the run game, and then his pass rush, you know, he's able to squeeze the edge. Everything starts with power for him, and then he transitions off the rush. And you watch him break out of the stack and run balls down. Talk about population of the football. He's one of those guys, man. He is running to the football. I thought he did a good job, and I like where he's at a lot, man. I really do.
He's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. Dan, appreciate you waking up with us.
Okay, have a good one.
It's 97.1.
Hey, there's nothing like Michigan. The pride, the grit, the game day energy. There's a beer that gets it. It's Founders Michigan Pilsner, brewed right here in the heart of Michigan. It's crisp, light, and built for those who go all in. Whether you're tailgating in Ann Arbor or kicking back after a long day, as proud sponsors of Michigan Athletics, we're raising a cold one to the maize and blue. Founders Michigan Pilsner, brewed for Michigan, built for you. Find Michigan Pilsner at a store near you. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
You really pushed him to double down on we're good.
Well, I mean, it's a huge question.
It is. And we won't get an answer till late in the week on Davenport. Other takeaways, they feel like they're better equipped to handle Baltimore this time.
Well, they have the experience of what it's going to sound like, what it's going to feel like having been to Lambeau. There's going to be some differences, but that's where this team needs to be able to, they're doing all the things that you do at practice to try to generate crowd noise. It's not an easy thing to do, especially as a young offensive lineman. When you get those guys that are experienced, that's why the onus is on Graham, it's on Decker, it's on Sewell to make sure whether it's in-game, the communication's there, but more importantly, all the preparation going into the game before they even get on the plane to Baltimore, that all of that stuff is ironed out.
All right, let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, Tom Brady raised some eyebrows when he was seen in the coaching booth during the game. Was it the Raiders game and the Chargers game on Monday? And he had his headset on, and some people were a little concerned about that. Well, the NFL did set the record straight on whether he violated any rules by going into the box or not. When, according to the league, Brady did not break any rules with the move. A spokesperson for the NFL said there are no policies that prohibit an owner from sitting in the coach's booths or wearing a headset during a game. Said Brady was sitting in the booth in his capacity as a limited partner. The spokesperson did go on and kind of set the record straight on other rules. It says all personnel sitting in the booth must abide by policies that prohibit the use of electronic devices other than league issued equipment such as a Microsoft Surface tablet for the sideline viewing system.
I think some of the issue, the gray area, is part of his role on Fox is he gets to do like a deep dive with the coaches as part of his prep.
Yeah.
And now if he's kind of acting as a pseudo coach in the coach's box, that makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yep. But we've also seen other owners, maybe in Indianapolis, wear a headset, taking notes on the sidelines.
But she's not on the broadcast calls
she
every
is not.
Week.
Yeah.
In other Tom Brady news, you guys, he's coming out of retirement for a third time. He's going to play in a flag football tournament.
Saudi Arabia?
Yeah. So on Monday, it was announced that Brady, Fanatics, Fox Sports, and OBB Media have teamed up to put on this Fanatics Flag Football Classic. So it's going to be this global event. It's scheduled to take place in Saudi Arabia on March 21st of 2026. It will feature three teams of eight players competing in this like round robin tournament. The top two teams will then advance to a championship round. And Brady said that this just felt like the perfect time for him to hit the field again and get his competitive juices flowing. There's going to be a lot of other names you know, Saquon Barkley, CeeDee Lamb, Christian McCaffrey, Sauce Gardner, Miles Garrett, Max Crosby, Tyreek Hill,
Rob
Gronkowski.
Yeah, Gronk, that's one of the big ones.
Yeah, so lots of names that you know.
Coaches, Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, yeah. Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
Fun.
Just out of nowhere. Just yeah. Disappointed that they don't have any offensive line positions.
You know,
I'm
still waiting on the call.
It is coming to the Olympics in 2028.
I know. Still no offensive line positions.
Yeah. Miami Dolphins legend Dan Marino, not coming out of retirement, but is opening up about a devastating health issue that he was diagnosed with years ago, and now he's hoping to raise awareness and help others. So back in 2007, he had a routine checkup at his doctor's office. He was feeling a bit fatigued. He definitely was feeling that, but didn't think anything serious, right? And he did admit, yeah, my diet has definitely changed since my playing days. My exercise routine has changed as well. And he was diagnosed with liver disease, something known as MASH. That's like an abbreviated term, but it occurs when excess fat cells accumulate in the liver. And he was told, you know, it can be reversible. But basically what you got to do, you got to work out, you got to lose weight. And to him, he also thought his diet needed a good change, too. So now he says he follows a specific health regimen. It includes nightly walks, bike rides with his wife. He trains at the gym with a former teammate. He also follows a Mediterranean diet and does restrict indulgences like wine, pizza, candy, and ice cream. So,
yeah, I mean, healthy diet, especially as we age, becomes vital.
For sure, without a doubt. Let's see. Prosecutors have announced that they will be filing a note of intent to seek the death penalty against Tyler Robinson. That is the man accused of killing Charlie Kirk. We all saw it. He was arrested last week after this long manhunt. He was charged with aggravated murder, several other charges as well. Prosecutors did release a whole lot of evidence against him, text messages confessing, a note that he left beforehand, DNA on the weapon. He did make his first appearance in court virtually on Tuesday, very emotionless. He did nod a couple of times, but he was given his sentence. He will appear, or his charges, excuse me. He'll appear next in court on September 29th.
All right, that's Heather with the news. Coming up next, it's the Power Surge. It's 97.1.
Hey, you hear all the ads, law firms bragging about some giant verdict. To them, it's a trophy. It's a number, and that's good for them. But if you've just been in a car accident, it doesn't do anything for you. Here's the truth about David Femeninio. He wins big, of course, but he knows that it's not about the headlines. It's about you. That money pays your medical bills. It keeps your family steady. It matters only because you need it. That's the difference. With David, it's never about showing off. It's about fighting for you. You can give him a call at 855-65-CRASH, or you can visit him at GetDavidGetPaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at GetDavidGetPaid.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
It's a great call for a great moment. Pinch hit home run for Kerry Carpenter in the ninth inning. Didn't last.
Beautiful while it lasted.
I know. Couldn't even catch your breath. Will Vest is serving up meatballs in the top of the 10th inning, and it's extra bases, extra bases, extra bases. I think it was double, double, triple, double, and the Tigers were done. Mm. And it's annoying because you waste that moment, and you've wasted this giant lead. Suddenly, we're staring at a division race down to 5.5 games. It's annoying. I still expect them to win this division, as do you, John. It's just annoying that we're even in this position, that the Guardians haven't had the door slammed shut on them. Detroit has refused to slam the door shut.
It's annoying. It's frustrating. It's all those things. And I think most people believe that they're still going to win the division.
Any nervous energy?
I'm not really nervous. It's just, you don't want to go into the postseason limping into the postseason. You built up this giant lead early on. It was 15 games, and I don't know what it ends up being. It could be 8 or 9,
sure,
depending on how it all finishes. We don't know.
They
could be
Cleveland 5
two.
More times. Sure.
Yeah. And so it only has to be more than them.
Right. But the other consideration is the 2 seed, which is down to 2 games, right, and the Seattle Mariners have the tiebreaker head-to-head. So, like, look, Detroit's played 500 ball for 2.5 months. And I believe 7-13 in the last 20 games. I mean, they've really invited teams to catch up to them.
They have, and that's the frustrating part. And, I mean, we all know that the season's long. It just feels like it is so long this year because there was this excitement about the team. There was, and even, even as early as those two first games against the Yankees where they score, was it 23 runs? In 2 games,
yeah,
and they put a beatdown on them. Then they lose the third. Okay, you still won the series. It felt like maybe there was that sense of urgency, like things were starting to click. They were preparing for the postseason.
But then you lose 2 or 3 to the Marlins. You lose the first game of the series with the Guardians. You know, it's just they've taken a lot of the excitement out of what's ahead, right? Like the playoffs are right around the corner, guys. This is not a normal occurrence. The Tigers rarely have made the playoffs in their history. We have a division title that could be clinched by Friday. And yet I don't feel that buzz or that excitement. And it's because they haven't instilled any confidence in this fan base.
And yeah. And I mean, it's, what did I say? I think it was about a month ago now. Like I just want to get to October and this season just won't end. And the Tigers won't end it the way we would prefer.
Like, okay, Jack Flaherty's tonight. He yo-yos. Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. His last was good, so you're worried about bad. But if he goes out and does his thing tonight, you go Scooble on Thursday.
Yeah.
You win back-to-back. The magic number's down to 3 with 9 games to go, and the division is, the door's all but slammed shut.
Yeah.
Now, Flaherty goes out tonight and gets bombed, gives up 5 runs. All of a sudden, you're looking at Scooble going, hey, dude, keep some sanity for the fan base.
Well,
keep the train on the tracks.
This is also where you kind of feel like they have to have. Are they going to show their playoff mentality? Can you just win when you're supposed to win?
Some ticket text. This is a direct result of Scott Harris doing absolutely nothing at the deadline. It is 100% his fault, and he should be fired over it.
Oh, come on.
Next text. Scott Harris can join Jonathan Smith in the unemployment line. Fire Scott Harris. They were one of the best teams at the deadline, and they did nothing. That's 3 in a row. Next text says, I think they get swept even if they make the playoffs. It doesn't matter if it's a 3 or a 5-game series. They're getting swept. That last one, I think, has taken a lot of the wind out of the sails of the fan base. Because I think they're going to be in. I think they're winning the division. I just don't expect them to do very much once they're there.
The significance of the 2 seed, though, being the 1 or 2 seed is so valuable. Now that's in jeopardy.
You get another Scooble start. That's what's on the line here. If you find yourself outside the top 2 teams in the American League, it's a 3-game series. You can only throw Scooble once. You get one of the top 2 seeds. It's a 5-game series, and you throw Scooble twice.
Yeah, and he pitches game 1.
Yeah.
Look, right now, if the rotation's staying the way it is, he would be scheduled to start the Saturday second-to-last game of the season in Boston. If that game matters for seeding,
he's on the mound.
And you lose, now you've put him in jeopardy of even pitching in that. He would pitch the Thursday then, which is a game 3 that doesn't even potentially exist.
Yikes. I didn't even think of that.
They need to slam the door here.
Yeah.
Enough is enough. I mean, for the first time, I'm pretty annoyed by them. I know they were coasting. We'd make arguments, every team can't go win at 100-win pace for almost a season and a half that they were going to come back down to earth. But This is getting really annoying right now.
So they have 85 wins. If they go 5-6, a losing record, they'd get to 90 wins.
Yeah.
That should be enough to win this division. I don't know if it's enough to get a top two seed.
Probably not at this point.
Yeah, especially with Seattle doing what they're doing.
Them having the tiebreaker.
For people who haven't seen this bizarre story out of Seattle, they've won 10 in a row, and they're like plus 49 in run differential at the time. Cal Raleigh just set the record for most
home runs by a switch hitter.
Yeah, and they had one fan 10 games ago hire a witch on Etsy to put a spell on the team, and they haven't lost since.
And they didn't play good after the deadline, but now they are.
I don't know if you just heard what I said.
I did.
They had a witch from Etsy for $15.99 save their season.
Yeah, and we had
and
rally
the teams embraced
it,
all this stupid stuff. Yeah. We're just saying that's what we're competing against right now. They got a witch.
So then you need to do something.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we have the ultimate. It's the cost of lock. You just have to believe.
But it has to be genuine.
That's why I said you got
to
believe.
I can't do it like on command and go, guess what? The Mariners are going to blank. It's not going to work.
Maybe you should just sing the full version of Cher.
Let's get to the phones. 248-539-9797. It doesn't work that way. Chris in Pontiac, good morning.
Yeah, obviously starting pitching is a problem for us. My biggest concern is Casey Mize. The guy's got talent, but mentally he does so many stupid things and he gets frustrated very easily. But, you know, Ramirez battled him really hard, fouled off a bunch of pitches, then gets a little blooper hit. Then Mize is all PO'd. He doesn't check him at first. He gives him an easy steal, which puts him in scoring position, erases a double play, and then they get a ground ball to Torque, and he doesn't go to first base because he's still stewing over giving up a blooper hit. You know, and he does stuff like that all the time. You can read it in his face. He just gets annoyed when something doesn't go his way instead of bearing down, manning up, and just, you know, doing your job.
See, I have the opposite read of Mize, and I'm not going to fight you on last night, but like he does bear down. He does put out a lot of fires. He's got an ERA. It's been under four all season because even when he runs into traffic, he works his way out of it. He's not overly inspiring. He's not a big-time strikeout guy for the season.
No, but we've seen him load the bases in the first, even the second innings and back-to-back innings and get out without giving up runs. I don't necessarily know that. You don't want to be in those positions, but he's been able to get out of them.
And that's why, look, first half was an all-star, second half has been uninspiring. Last night, somewhere in the middle, gave him a chance to win, right? Three runs, not great, gave him a chance to win. You should win the game. I mean, if Torque doesn't get thrown out on the bases in that sixth inning, maybe they don't. Maybe Carp's a walk-off homer. I mean, they had their chances in that game, and that's what's agonizing is it's right there. Just go do it.
I mean, you kind of nailed it there where this team has been so good on the base paths and they haven't beaten themselves for the most part. But when they do, it stands out. And you're talking about everything is going to be highlighted at the end of the season. Any type of mistake is going to be highlighted because if it costs you a game, it costs you a chance to, you know, put one more nail in the coffin for the Guardians.
Kurt in Clinton Township. Good morning.
How's it going, guys?
What's up?
Good morning.
So I got a season package, about 28 games or whatever. And I would say even before the Carpenter home run, the ballpark was electric. For a Tuesday night, I couldn't believe that there was about 30,000 fans there. They were loud. Everybody was into the game. And then, of course, Carpenter hits the home run, and we all lose our mind, only to be let down in extra innings in about 2 seconds. But I do think there are a lot of people here who are still into it. I know football's getting going and all that stuff, but hopefully they can pull it together. You know, they got a little bit of time. It's when you get hot, and hopefully they get hot in the playoffs.
Look, I'd love to rev it up, right? Flaherty puts together a quality outing tonight. Scooble emphatically slams the door on the day game Thursday. They take two or three against the Braves. The next week becomes just about setting up your rotation, right? You got a little more to clean up the top two seeds, but I'd love to see them rattle off. What, there's 11 games to go, John? Go win like 7 of the 11 games.
Yeah.
And put yourself in the position to make the best possible run. I mean, I have my doubts based on how they played for the last 3 months, but at least do something to rev people up and get people thinking about them again.
Well, and I don't even care if it's 7 of 11. It's what are you going to do to put the Guardians away? Because once you have the division locked up, those games, AJ's going to do some things with the pitching staff, with the lineup. He's going to tweak some things. I don't really care what happens after that. So it's not about being 7 and four going into in the final 11.
But you want a top two seed is why I said that.
Right. Yeah. So lock those things up and then let the chips fall where they are.
Yeah. A couple texts. Texter says, playoff baseball is all about momentum. Too little, too late. Crawling in the playoffs will be swept. We need some momentum and we have none. Text says, the team is not special. We've seen the movie before. We're starving for a ring. I don't feel we're getting it. So who cares? And another one says, I completely checked out after the deadline. The front office doesn't care. They don't want to win at all. Why should I watch?
There's still plenty of time for momentum. It's 11 games.
Just on that quick, though, the 06 Tigers, who were a team that we didn't know if we should trust, crumbled down the stretch of the regular season, blew the division, finished 19-31, and went to the World Series. You can start it in the playoffs and still get hot. You don't have to play good the last few days of the season or whatever. Right. I'm not saying it's not troubling to a degree of the, because I think
it's just not inspiring.
There's something so substantially lacking with starting pitching that that team had Rodgers and Verlander, you know, Bonderman. How about Casey Mize becomes Bonderman and Charlie Morton is Kenny Rogers.
Yes, please. Okay, you can't count on much these days. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL games all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. It's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. 9 o'clock hour, you'll hear from Dan Campbell. We've got some tickets to give away and an NFL owner going outside the box. It's 97.1.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.